14 through 20. After John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." And passing along by the Sea of Galilee, they saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea. They were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boats mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, and they followed him. All right, so still moving through Mark chapter 1, and there's a lot that goes on in Mark chapter 1, because Mark is all about the action, and he cuts out all the fluff, and his favorite word is immediately, which you see him using like three times just in this short passage. Mark starts off with John the Baptist, the baptism of Jesus, and then boom, Holy Spirit drives him into the wilderness, and then bang, here he is. So in Mark's timeline, this is happening right after Jesus comes out of the wilderness. So so if his public ministry kind of begins with the baptism, then these are kind of the first public acts where he is preaching the gospel, and he passes by the Sea of Galilee and starts calling disciples to follow him. So let's start right off on verse 14. After John was arrested, who was arrested here? John
the Baptist.
The Baptist. That's right. That's right. So, you know, we see John the Baptist earlier on, and because not much has happened in between the baptism of John and this moment, just being driven out in the wilderness, this is where John the Baptist is arrested. We'll hear, you know, a little bit more about that later. But basically, you know, here's the shift between the ministry of John the Baptist and the ministry of Jesus. You know, as John the Baptist will say in a different gospel, you know, "I must diminish so that he might increase." And so John is now off the stage, and that leaves the ministry of Christ. And he immediately is preaching and teaching. So, what specifically is Jesus preaching?
Time is coming.
Okay.
The kingdom is near.
That's right. So he's preaching the gospel of God, the good news of God. And the good news coming from Jesus is the time is here. The kingdom of God is at hand. How is that different from the message that John the Baptist was preaching?
Well, he was preaching redemption and
Jesus was coming.
Right.
Right. So John is preaching repentance, turn back to God, and he's basically preaching that the time is coming. You know, repent while you can, because the time is short. And then the message of Jesus is the time is
here.
Here it is. It's right now. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So this is also a message of repentance, not unlike John the Baptist's, but it's kind of taken on a slightly different direction. You know, repent for the kingdom of God is coming versus repent for the kingdom of God is here. All right, passing along the Sea of Galilee, he sees Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. Well, that's good. I'm glad they were fishermen. Otherwise, they'd be casting the net for some other reason. So, outside of Scripture, what do we know about being a fisherman at this time period? What is it like?
Hard life.
Hard life, yeah. It's definitely labor. Why are you catching fish? To eat and probably to sell. Yeah. So that's your job. Your job is, this is not a sport. This is not a leisure activity. This is not a hobby. This is their job. These are working men. And they are out casting nets. Now,
I did read someplace that at the time of Christ that there were 200 little villages around that lake, and it's not that very big a lake. There were 200 villages there, so they were probably supplying a need for some other villages as
okay.
well as their own.
Yeah, so, and you know, ostensibly the fishing is good because there's a bunch of people here fishing.
Yeah.
So they are casting nets. This isn't, they're not hand lining, these are not rods and reels, but this is having a net that is thrown out. And if you have ever thrown a net, like a casting net,
I'm not going with it.
You know, take some skill, take some experience. If you just throw it out there, just kind of tangle up and sink. So there's kind of a specific way, because these are working guys, they're not doing little nets. These are probably big old nets. And to be able to throw a big old net and actually have it spread out, it takes some doing. So they are not just dropping nets, but they are casting nets into the sea. And what does Jesus say to them?
Follow me.
And
fishers of men.
Fishers of men. And so this has become, that phrase, fishers of men, has become kind of a famous description of evangelism, of discipleship, to be a fisher of men. What does that mean to you, to be a fisher of men?
Bring people to Christ.
Evangelist, bring people to Christ. Okay, so the whole purpose of what they're doing is to bring people not for themselves. You know, if they're fishing for fish, they're fishing to eat and to sell for themselves, their families, and all that. But if they're fishing for men, they are now doing that same job, but doing it on behalf of God, not themselves. So they don't need men. This is to bring people to God. So let's connect the action of how they are fishing with fishing for people. So what are their fishing tools?
A net.
Okay, so it's not a rod and a reel. This is net. And how do nets catch fish?
Well, they capture the fish that don't get away.
Okay. Kind of scoops them up. Yeah, it basically covers an area. And any fish in that area that doesn't swim off gets caught. And then you pull them up and it brings them in. You ever, anybody fished with a net before? Cast net or deep water or whatever? So when you pull up a net, what do you have in it?
Seaweed and
junk. Yeah, I mean, hopefully there's fish in there, but you get everything that has been underneath the net. And maybe you get, you know, plants and rocks and mud and, you know, whatever. And you're hoping that there's fish in there too, but basically anything in the scope of the net all comes up at once. It's not discriminating at all. Just anything that's in that area, the net's trying to scoop up. Okay, so how can we relate fishing with a net to evangelizing people?
Oh, I would say it would be like when an evangelist goes out and speaks, some people say, wow, that's it. And a lot of them just say, and walk away.
Okay.
Spreading words, spreading that.
Okay. Yep. So it's not, you know, it's not quite so specific, you know, looking at that one fish and trying to snag them, but it's sort of indiscriminate. You know, spreading the word kind of wherever. You think that it's a good spot and you just sort of toss it out there and hope for the best. What might that mean in a practical sense for how people evangelize?
Well,
or should evangelize?
Well, cast a big net.
Talk to everybody.
Talk to everybody, cast a big net, right? And when you pull up that net and there's nothing in there, what do you do next?
Do it again.
You do it again. You know, these are guys who, their livelihood and their families depended on them catching fish. So if they dropped the net and there was no fish, they don't pack it in and go home. They do it again.
Right, you move to another spot.
You move to another spot or whatever it takes. But you keep throwing until you can feed your family. And to be, you know, to take that skill and translate it into spreading the gospel, I think is, there's some persistence involved. It's indiscriminate, but it's continuous. You're casting the net, wide groups of people, wide opportunities, and you keep at it. And if you pull up junk or mud or whatever one time, you don't quit. You might move to another area, but regardless of how you do it, you're going to throw again, and you're going to throw again, and you're going to throw again. You aren't going to get everybody, and that's you know part of
the first time, but if you
part of net fishing. But you toss it out there where you think the fish are, but you keep at it. Anything else? Fishers of men. I like to talk about how Jesus connects this. He gives them a gospel-oriented mission based off of what they're already doing. So, if he came across people who were doing some other kind of job, how might he have translated that job into reaching other people?
Like the potters.
Okay, so he comes across a group of people making pots. What might he say to them?
Molding of a new life.
Okay, yeah, maybe it's going to have some sort of poetic twist to it. You know, follow me and you will mold new life. Yeah, sure. So, Jesus meets fishermen, and he translates their fishing into spreading the gospel. So if it was a different group of people, then perhaps that same mission can be accomplished through this different skill set.
Did it ever say what other apostles did?
It tends to talk about apostles who are in the middle of, like after these guys, it tends to just mention them like so-and-so, who was a blah, 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 Matthew, who was a tax collector. We never get a statement of, follow me and I will make you collect taxes for men. If anything, his job is kind of turned upside down. These first four disciples are all given a new job, but it's really based on the skills of their old job. So, as much as I like to talk about, whatever your job is, you know, Lord can use you, think about it in the sense of Jesus meets fishermen, and what do we say about the potter? Like, you will mold new life. You know, he says to a fisherman, follow me and you will mold new life, like a potter in his wheel. What would that have meant to the fisherman?
No.
Yeah. And even if they said okay, it was going to be okay. Well, you're going to have to teach me how to do that because I don't know anything about pottery, but they do know about fishing.
Sowing in the field
for the farmers. We have a lot of different metaphors that are being used. So clearly, you know, working for the Lord can happen in a variety of circumstances, but there is, I think, something kind of encouraging to the call of Christ. Being able to be understood and translated by the people who are receiving it. There's something about what I do, what I know how to do, what I'm willing to do, what I'm capable of doing, that God can use. We don't tend to think of fishing and as a godly pursuit. You know, fishermen as a whole are dirty liars and drinkers and you know, whatever. But every person and every vocation and every skill set, these can be used for God's glory. Okay, so what do they do when Jesus says, I will make you fishers of people? They drop their stuff and off they go. What does that communicate to you, that they drop their nets and they follow them?
It was a big deal for them to do that, you know. That's their livelihood.
That is their livelihood, yeah. And they just dropped it. And maybe somebody else picks it up, maybe they've got other people who are working with them or whatever it is, but they count on those nets. And they have left them behind. And I think that is bold, and there is something to be said for how they responded. All right, so they go a little further, I guess walking around the Sea of Galilee there, and who do they meet next? Now we got an entourage going, and who's next on the list?
James.
All right. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. And what are they doing?
Take care of mother.
Mending nets.
Mending their nets. Okay. So these guys are also fishermen. And anyone whose livelihood depends on tools and equipment, how much time do you spend cleaning and maintaining your equipment?
Probably not enough.
Going to work.
Well, a pretty fair amount.
Yeah.
You don't clean it and you don't maintain it, and it's not going to last. And it's not going to last, and what do? You got to get another one if you want to keep working, and that's money that you've spent that you didn't have to. And a good, clean, well-maintained tool will be more productive and successful than one that is old and ratty and beaten up. But that's just part of the job. And so these guys are doing part of the job. They're fishermen. They are not actively throwing nets, but they are working on them.
Which I'm sure is a daily. They're tearing them up.
I would assume so. You know, you pull stuff up and it's going to start tearing and splitting. And, you know, they don't have...
They didn't have nylon, that's bad.
Yeah, there's no nylon, so this is stuff that when it gets wet and dry, is probably going to stretch or rot or whatever.
Snags from rocks.
Yeah, and stuff's going to pull and tear, so they're working on it. And what does Jesus say to them? Well, we don't know.
But on that one, he doesn't say that.
We don't know.
They just need maybe to drop their nets.
Yeah, maybe he does. Mark didn't get into it. He just says that he calls them. Immediately he calls them. So what does he say? We don't know. Is it more fishers of men? Maybe. Is it something else? Could be. But he calls to them, and how do they respond?
Followed them, left their dead.
They left their dead and hired servants.
Yeah.
Yep. This one says immediately. This other version says without delay. They leave their father in the boat. The father's got hired men. So the father, this is probably, you know, maybe a bigger business. You know, if you've got hired men and you've got a boat, you are not casting from the shoreline. You're going out looking for fish. So maybe it's a bigger operation. But this guy's two sons just left him. So
they had to have seen something better.
So they've seen something, they heard something about Jesus or what he said was enough for them to hop off this boat and leave their stuff.
Well, Jesus didn't ask everybody he saw. I mean, he knew. Seem to know the people here.
That's also true. We don't know how many people are around that seashore, but you got to think there's more than two.
Yeah.
There's more than two groups fishing. Yeah. If there are two groups fishing near the same spot, then there's 20 groups fishing. You know, I mean, these are guys who their whole job, their livelihood, is to find the fish. And if you've got people casting on the shore and people in a boat, and they're not that far from each other, the odds are there's lots of people around. And yet, Jesus knows who to call. He knows who is going to respond, and that's what he does. And I think there's something to be said for that as well. So, how lengthy and complicated is the call that Jesus gives these guys?
Follow me. Two words.
Yeah, probably very, not much at all. And even though Mark might have skipped over some of the good parts because he's interested in the action, there's no sense here that there was some long, drawn-out conversation. There was no, you know,
up and go.
I am going to open the scriptures to you, and I am going to explain to you from the law and the prophet. I mean, he says, follow me. And they do. And there's simplicity.
Do you think that there were people that he knew already?
And they were kind of waiting for this moment? Yeah. I don't know. Don't know. There's no indication given one way or the other. But maybe.
Well, for people to, without any other information, just picking up and walking out of their job, leaving Dad high and dry, thank you. He must have had some kind of contact with him before.
So you would assume that there's something, but at the same time, again, there's also just something about Jesus.
Yeah.
And you meet him face to face, and you just don't know what's going to happen. He says, follow me, and that just, maybe that's enough.
Would they have had any contact or heard the preaching of John the Baptist?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. John the Baptist is a big deal, and John, lots of people knew about him.
Yeah.
And some of the disciples were actually disciples of John the Baptist first. You know, they really resonated with his message, and they were supporters of John the Baptist. So this is not occurring in a vacuum, but what exactly is connected to what we don't know. But what we do know is the call of Christ is simple and it's connected to you personally. And then the response can be simple as well. But it always involves leaving something and following him. Go where he goes, see what he does, spend time with him, and you will